It's 2006 and reality TV is a really big thing. That year, over 40 new reality shows debuted. Some are still going strong today, like Top Chef, Real Housewives, that year was of the OC, America's Got Talent, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and some that didn't really take off as well, like Black White, where a white family and a black family find out what it's like to switch lives, and House of Carters that followed Backstreet Boy Nick Carter, his little brother Aaron, and their three sisters. And the subject of this episode, another reality TV show that was dreamed up that year by the geniuses at CBS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Weird World Podcast. I'm Dean.
I'm Carrie.
Carrie is going to not do a strange psychological event.
Oh, this is a strange psychological event.
But not, you know, not the usual Carrie motif.
No, it is not.
This is from the world of entertainment, usually mind-blowing.
Yeah, in the world of your favorite kind of entertainment, which reality is, TV.
You know, I'm a huge fan. You know, I watch all the reality shows.
Baking shows are.
See, I don't consider those reality shows.
Well, consider those reality TV shows.
I don't think they do, actually.
They actually do.
Really? Well, that's a kind of a catch-all. This is a stupid catch-all because they're really kind of game shows. It's really sort of non-scripted TV.
Right.
They use the word reality, but that's not what reality show really means.
Yeah.
I don't think, anyway.
They call it, I don't think they call it reality. They call it unscripted or alternative programming or something like that. But
so
yeah.
So then they don't call them. Okay. So yeah. Baking,
cooking shows are lumped into the same category, I think. Yeah,
for sure. But they're very different.
Okay.
Let's go on about this for a long time.
Yes, let's. Okay. We're going to talk about a guy named Ron.
Ron.
Who loved reality TV. And
I already don't like Ron.
Well, he's not an unlikable guy.
Okay.
I don't know how old he is, probably in his mid-30s. And he really thinks, I could be on a reality TV show. He does understand that, you know, most of the people are in their 20s and beautiful, and he's not. He's got a family and everything, but you know, he thinks he's got a good personality and it might be something that could fit in on a reality show. He really liked Survivor, so he decided to apply. He said he filled out it was like a 30 plus page
to get
application.
Survivor?
Yeah.
Yikes.
They want to know everything about you, everything about everyone in your family and all kinds of stuff. So he did the application, sent it in, and then forgot about it. And, you know, days go by, weeks go by, and it was actually months later he comes home and there's a message on his answering machine from CBS saying they got his application and they wanted to talk to him. Mm-hmm. First, he thought he was being pranked by his best friend. When he found out his friend didn't know what he was talking about, he called the number back and they said that they did want to talk to him, but it wasn't about Survivor. Mm-hmm. It was about a new show they were looking at doing, and they wanted him to bring in his two little girls who he talked about in his application.
That sounds less like a prank and more like some kind of a horrific ploy by a pedophile, but go on.
So they wanted him to bring in his two little girls. His daughters were Mallory, who was 8, and Olivia, who was 13. He said, no, you know, we're not really interested in that.
Yeah. Were they on, like, he sent video or just, he says 30 page. Did they Survivor have you send video too, I wonder?
I don't know. He didn't say anything about video. They talked him into bringing his kids in for an audition, essentially, or just to talk about it, whatever. They lived in Indiana, so the whole family flies to L.A.
Do they fly you for that? If they're calling you in, I'm sure they do.
Okay. Yeah. And they decided, let's go look. There's no way. They're not going to want these two little girls from Indiana, you know, on this show. So, and they didn't know anything about the show were talking about.
So, just come in. It's a reality show.
Yeah.
No more details.
So, they bring him in. And he was thinking like Survivor for Kids or something like that.
Yeah.
But, so they came
Which
in.
Which is, by the way, a horrific idea.
Yeah, very horrific idea. But, so they were told that it was for a new show that was going to be like summer camp with cameras.
That also sounds a little spooky or weird, but go on.
And they went. It was a pretty lengthy audition process. They still thought, you know, our kids are never going to. What are the chances? You know, they're probably talking to hundreds of kids. There's no way. And just as they're about to leave their hotel, one little girl, Olivia, the 13-year-old, said she was in the shower, you know, getting ready as right before they're going to head to the airport. And she said her mom burst into the bathroom and says, "You guys got in."
Really?
So they got cast on this new Summer Camp with Cameras show where they were going to be taking 40 kids ages 8 to 15 to a ghost town in New Mexico.
To 15.
To have them live and without adult intervention and try to create a functioning society.
Oh, this is going to be Lord of the Flies.
And they were going to call it Kid Nation.
Kid Nation. Huh. Mm-hmm. Was Lord of the Flies the copyright? They couldn't get that. Yeah. Is that why?
So before, you know, in between being cast and before production started, everybody was sworn to secrecy. None of the kids were allowed to talk to each other.
Yeah,
they probably didn't even, nobody was even introduced to anybody. So nobody knew who anybody was.
Typically, they can't talk to each other until the whole thing, until whatever has aired, they can start talk to that point. They can't talk about the end of this of the series. Like those contests, things like that, you know,
yeah.
that are months after they've shot them. You can't say
right.
a word.
But I mean, they weren't even allowed to talk to each other before.
Okay.
And the code name for the crew and everybody working on it was the Manhattan Project, which doesn't seem a very apt name for it.
Other than it being in New Mexico.
The CBS head of alternative programming in 2007 was a guy named Gen, I think, Maynard.
His first name?
Yeah.
Gen? Maynard?
But he, his claim to fame was he had convinced Les Moonves to do Survivor.
Classic. Classy and, guy all the way around. All classy people involved in that. Les Moonves, now known to be a disgusting human being.
Survivor started in the summer of 2000.
Who was the, is Survivor also Mark Burnett? The guy who
I don't know.
The guy who we owe, the world owes Trump to his fabrication on The Apprentice.
I don't know.
The image of Trump being, I think it is. Isn't that his? I don't know.
I don't know.
But he's a lot to answer for in hell.
Well, this guy, Gen Maynard, said part of the idea for Kid Nation came from an experiment he studied in college where kids, they psychologists or whatever, were watching kids and they noticed when there were adults present, kids acted differently.
Uh-huh.
So like if a kid fell down and there were no adults around, they would just pick themselves up and go back to play. If there was an adult in the room, they'd cry and they would look to the adult for comfort and
kids
some sort of intervention.
Manipulative bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Wait, who invented this, the Kid Nation show? Was it this Gen guy? Or?
I don't know who.
I'm sure it wasn't.
I don't know. It wasn't his idea.
Okay.
But he was the head of alternative programming.
Okay. So someone brought the idea to him. He said, that reminds me, of these manipulative kids. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The producers were, when they were being hired, they were told that the show was going to be like a modern day Lord of the Flies.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it was said, oh, you know what? I'm intrigued. Go on.
They wanted to give the kids a chance to create their own society and see how well kids could do.
Had they not read the book?
I'm sure they had. It was supposed to be a profound social experiment. So the people working on this, they said they spent weeks brainstorming and trying to figure out, like, playing in their sessions, what kind of scenarios could possibly come up with the kids. You know, they were trying to anticipate what might happen because I think they wanted to have things that the kids would need or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know, but it doesn't seem like they
really typically what they do on those shows is you know, force you into situations or kind of invent situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know those reality shows, air quotes, are way more scripted.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit. The parents, of course, there were contracts and legal agreements to be signed before they could actually start this. So it was a 22-page document that released CBS and the production company of any responsibility for any kind of harm for anything that might happen to the kids, including as a result of any medical care that they were given, any injuries, illnesses, death, STDs, HIV, or pregnancy. Or like emotional distress arising out of any sort of intimate relationship the kids might engage in with themselves or, you know, with each other or some other person.
I imagine that's similar to the kind of contract they would sign that they make the adult sign on Survivor or some shows like that.
I'm sure, or The Bachelor or stuff like that.
I bet it is, but these are children.
But so for children?
Kids, so the parents are signing away the mm-hmm. rights of the kids. That seems inappropriate.
Yep.
Minors are not. But it also seems, I mean, these aren't ethical. This is Les Moonves, not soup. These are people who brought Survivor. So mm-hmm. not, ethics is not kind of their thing.
There was also a confidentiality agreement that mm-hmm. extended for 3 years beyond the run of the show.
3 years?
Not just their season, but the entire show.
Why?
So this show went on for 20 years. These kids would be bound by the confidentiality agreement for, 3 years beyond whenever the entire show ended.
That can't be legal and should not be legal.
So, and the penalty for violating the confidentiality agreement, mm-hmm. $5 million.
Honestly, I think things like that, those should be illegal. I mean, I know NDAs that protect, like, I'm going to give you information you wouldn't otherwise have to do this kind of a project, right, or something like that, totally makes sense. But any NDAs to protect bad behavior, like this clearly is, should not be legal.
I agree.
Should not be enforceable.
Yeah. Maybe confidentiality agreement until, like you said, until it airs.
I honestly don't think. Confidentially, yes. I want to hide. I get it. We want to hide
exactly
things like that. But I got hurt, or they did terrible things, and these bad, which is what they're really designed to do. Those
absolutely
should
not.
Just not be legal, not be enforceable.
They were also signing over their kids' life rights.
What?
In
That's
perpetuity
thing?
And across the universe.
I don't know what that means or is, but it sounds horrifying.
It means like they... I don't understand exactly what it means, but it also included a little clause saying that, they could be depicted... not accurately.
Oh, that's horrible. See, that
for
thing.
Satire or comedy or something like that.
No, for pretend drama, things like that. I've heard you've heard so many reality people after the fact go, yeah, no, that reaction that they show me where I looked like a bitch because what Karen said, that was 2 weeks later or something like that about something completely different. That's not satire.
Yeah. What I always thought life rights was the right to your life story.
I think it is.
Forever. But no, you don't have the right to their life story beyond the show.
I would not think so.
So, I mean, what
it sounds like these parents weren't well versed. They don't have entertainment lawyers, so they just.
I mean, I
sign
would never
away.
Sign that.
Yeah, but you're so desperate to get your stupid kid on TV shows. I'm sure every parent that wants to get their kid on Toddlers and TRs will sign anything put in front of them. So,
well,
did I say stupid kid just a second ago? It's not the kid's fault. It's
not
the stupid
kid's
parents.
Fault. So the amount that each kid was going to earn from doing this show?
Zero.
$5,000.
$5,000.
It was a stipend. It was not like pay for work. It was not wages.
Some kind of legal thing there too. Right?
Yes.
It's got to be.
But if they chose to leave the show before the end of it,
they
were forfeiting their stipend or any other prize or whatever they might win.
Okay. Was it announced ahead of time what the winner got? A new car.
There was no winner. It wasn't like Survivor. It wasn't. Nobody was being voted off.
It was just
like here's
some shit that happened in New Mexico when we let kids run wild.
Yes.
Okay.
So the reason why they weren't considering this stipend pay was because if they weren't paying the kids, they wouldn't be subject to any rules or regulations regarding employment or child labor laws.
Pretty sure they still would.
They had to be, the kids had to be available for filming 24 hours a day.
That can't be legal.
Mm-hmm. And
even in New Mexico. Sorry, New Mexico.
And they were missing 6 weeks of school. No tutors on set.
Oh my
at
God.
All.
None of this can be legal.
It
this
started
is 2006
filming,
or 7?
It started filming in 2007.
Okay. It's 2007. Okay.
Yeah.
Earlier the tease. So it was dreamed up in 2006.
Yes. And they started casting
Casting. Started 2007. Aired first in the fall of 2007.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but they started the filming in like mid-April of 2007.
Yeah. Okay.
So the show was filmed... and I'll talk about it later, but like all the movie labor laws and stuff like that, actually there's exemptions. Like the original child labor laws had exemptions for movies because it was written in like 1938, and it left it up to the states.
Terrible
that was the federal law. So and it left it up to states to make regulations for like movies and TV and stuff like that.
See, and states
so California
compete.
Had them, New York had them,
New Mexico does
New
not.
Mexico did
Georgia,
not.
Georgia, I don't think does. North Carolina, you see, is this those more kind of right to worky states? Yep. Go, oh, come on in here, because otherwise, why the fuck would you ever want to? If you're not filming a Western, you don't want to film in New Mexico.
Yeah,
so they are Georgia, for God's sake. So it becomes kind of a lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. They all compete with one another with tax breaks to get films there because they're cash cows. And
well, and the other reason
letting kids get exploited, that's easy. That's free.
The other reason why they chose New Mexico was for the location. It was called the Bonanza Creek Movie Ranch. It was a privately owned town that was built on the ruins of Bonanza City.
Bonanza City.
It was
not the old TV show. Nothing.
That was No. Okay. That was California, I think, around Tahoe or Nevada, maybe.
It took place around Tahoe in Nevada, but I don't know.
Where they filmed it?
Yeah.
Probably, well,
probably up there somewhere.
In the valley.
Yeah. No. Probably, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they filmed most of it on soundstage, but they did some. Okay.
Well, Bonanza City is about 13 miles south of Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And over 130 or something like that TV shows and movies have been filmed there. Over the years.
Is that where every draw in the middle of the town street happens in this? Okay.
Probably. Including Rust, which we know how that went.
No.
You don't know?
No, not good.
Oh, yeah. Bad. Not good. So anyway, so that's where this was all happening. The town is, I don't know how many buildings there are, but it's...
So it's like, basically it's like an Old West movie set at...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a town? Like, is it like ruins or is it like, you know, two-dimensional? Are they actually real buildings?
Oh, no. There's actual real buildings and stuff. I doubt if they're original, buildings from... But I think that the town, like, was defunct in the early 1900s.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
It was a town.
So it's a legit ghost town.
Yeah. Okay. But like I said, I don't know how many of these buildings are original or, But so it's laid out like the letter X. It has four unpaved streets lined with wooden buildings. Mm. On one side were the bunkhouses, and on the other side they had like a kitchen and a chapel where they would hold the town council meetings.
Do they have swinging saloon doors? Please say yes.
I don't know. You can't find it. I couldn't find it online. At some point, all the shows were available on YouTube, but they're all taken down now.
Really?
Yeah. So when all of the kids were cast, they were all flown to a hotel in Santa Fe with their parents originally. They were told, what items they could bring. I think they were allowed like three outfits for 40 days. Nice.
For 40 days? Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And what they couldn't bring, they weren't allowed to have watches. Nobody could have a watch. So the kids never knew what time it was.
That's convenient.
Mm-hmm. The poor little girls... some who were like 11, 12, 13, 14, no feminine hygiene products.
What?
So that means if they needed something, they would have to ask an adult, a crew member.
That's not okay.
Yeah,
Are they just thinking of ways to...
Embarrass kids.
Belittle and embarrass kids. Okay.
So the night before they were heading out to the town, their bags were searched by the production crew to make sure nobody had something they weren't allowed to bring.
They took away their Febreze. please, 3 days, three outfits, 40 days, please.
Yeah, and then when they woke up the next morning, they were told, tell your parents goodbye for 40 days.
Where'd the parents going? Santa Fe? Luxury hotel?
Parents were going home.
What? Home?
Yeah.
So the parents just flew them out there and then they're out.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
No access to the...
No access. The kids were not allowed to contact their parents or anybody else the entire time.
This could have been a genius kid slavery concoction, a scheme. Jesus.
So when they got on the bus, like a rickety old school bus...
They were mass kidnapped.
All the kids got little mics on their collars and cameras in their faces. And at this point, they were told... Go ahead and start talking to each other.
On the bus, okay.
On the bus. And the kids were like, where are we going? What's going to happen? And, they're asking the adults all these questions. And they were told, stop talking to us. Oh. Just talk to each other.
Oh, the adults should have those, like, black face masks, like in Squid Games, and just not even move, not even react, and have guns. Oh, they should have Squid Gamed. At least the guards should be Squid Game guards on the set. That would have been cool.
Talk about scary. Think about what you were. I don't know how you were when you were 8 years old. I probably would have already been crying.
Yeah, you probably would have.
So
I would have been glad to be away. I would have been fine. No, I'll stay.
You probably would have been fine. So nobody had a watch, so they're not. None of the kids are sure exactly how long they were riding in the bus. It felt like hours and hours. And then the bus just comes to a stop, and it's like middle of nowhere. There's one little rickety old little wooden building, and that's it. And they're told, get out of the bus. And one little girl, the 13-year-old daughter of Ron, who wanted to be on Survivor, Olivia, was like, this can't. Are we all going to live here? You know, what is this? How is this going to work? And then all of a sudden, here comes a helicopter. The helicopter, you know, blowing every dust all over where. And it lands, and four more kids get out. And they're told, these kids are going to be your town council. And so Olivia said she thought, great. I'll bet you these kids know what's going on. They're going to know what to do.
That sounds like an elected body. I'm already.
I'm assuming they've been told what to do. And then they're told, nope. They start talking to those kids, and those kids are like, we have no idea what's going on either.
But we got to ride in a helicopter.
So at this rickety old building in the middle of nowhere, I guess there's also like these big wooden carts and stuff. They've got to load all of their stuff onto these carts, I think even including food and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the kids, they're not given horse or oxen or anything. No. The kids have to pull the carts miles.
This is a slave ring. This is a slave ring for sure.
So the kids, and they were dirty and tired. One poor kid got a cramp in his leg and fell to the ground. Okay. And, you know, the adults, I mean, there
What's
have
that
to be,
name?
I don't know.
Because he sounds like a little bit.
There have to be a lot of adults around. Nice. But
yeah, with whips.
They're not helping.
With Squid Game mask. Yeah.
They're not doing anything.
Okay.
So they get to where they're going, the little Bonanza City, and they, you know, go look in their bunk houses and see where they're supposed to sleep. No beds, no real mattresses. There are these thin little mattress blanket kind of things that they have to put on the floor, which are wooden floorboards with like gaps in them and stuff. And like a one blanket per kid that was like the thickness of a rug.
Wow.
No pillows. And
that's a deal breaker.
What do you think happens in the middle of the night in New Mexico?
You get a neck crick because you don't have a pillow.
It gets flipping
very
cold.
Very cold. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and there weren't nest of snake below the bunkhouses. So the network imported in rattlesnake nest to put below the bunkhouse.
There was no running water.
This is April, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It would get really cold at
night. Really
cold. No running water. One outhouse.
Oh my God.
For 40 kids.
That's mean.
Uh-huh.
I mean, now they're doing that reality show type shitty stuff to, you know,
yes.
See what kind of, okay.
And some kids got altitude sickness, so there was a lot of diarrhea.
Ooh. Altitude sickness causes diarrhea?
I guess.
Did not know that.
So there, like I said, there were a lot of adults on the set. Probably like somebody said at one point, like around 200, there were producers, camera crews, they had a psychologist, they had a pediatrician, they had an animal wrangler for some reason.
Well, but maybe the snakes.
So,
the foremost, I think.
And there was like some sort of a perimeter that was manned, you know,
with Squid Game guys. Yes, please.
To make sure that
they didn't escape.
No. And also to make sure creepy people didn't make their way in.
Who knew about this?
And animals, too. Animals. Nobody, but, you know, if you're from Santa Fe, you might have heard, there's a film crew. Let's go see what they're doing out at Bonanza Creek or whatever.
Possibly cougars do the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's go check it out and see if we can snatch a child.
So.
I'm on the cougar side, by the way.
Are you?
I am.
Oh, well, so initially on the bus, and immediately afterwards, there's one little 8-year-old kid named Jimmy. With floofy hair. Curly, floofy hair.
Yeah.
He initially said he thought he was going to die out there.
I feel like Jimmy's going to bitch out early.
Yeah. He missed his dog. He's homesick.
Huh? Yeah. 8 to 15 is a hell of a discrepancy between ages. That's a child.
I think 8
and
is too young. It should have been maybe 10.
Or even
10 to 15 or something like that.
Yeah. At least 10. Maybe 11 or 12.
So for the first few days, they basically just let the kids do whatever they wanted. And the one producer that I saw heard an interview with, she said it was 3 days of absolute anarchy. The kids didn't know what they were doing. They had to make their own food, but they didn't really know how.
What did they give them? Like, did they give them like flour, or did they give them like canned food and stuff like that?
I don't know if there was canned food,
Hot Pockets.
But like the first night, they had a wood burning stove.
Oh, okay.
So these kids have to manage fire.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is not great.
Not awesome.
And they put this big pot on the stove and filled it with water and then just dumped a ton of like macaroni into it.
Okay, I mean, no.
So they didn't know you have to wait for the water to boil first, and you can't fill the pot with macaroni.
That's actually the best thing so far.
They couldn't even stir it because it was so, you know, the macaroni gets all stuck together and everything.
Yeah, what 8 to 15 year old would know how to cook macaroni? Very few.
Oh, I absolutely would have. Probably not at 8. Okay.
In 2007, it's a different world, man.
Our kids would have known.
I don't think so.
I do.
I'm not positive they would have.
Well, our oldest.
Maybe. I don't know. I think you'd be surprised. Well, parents do everything for kids.
Yes. It was basically they made mushy pasta.
Mushy, half-cooked waterlogged pasta.
They also didn't have refrigeration, so there was no cheese or, you know.
No cheese.
So the kids,
or worse yet, is that powder cheese, not the good liquid cheese.
Yeah. So the kids were initially very tired, hungry, and homesick. So the town council called a meeting.
The four helicopter kids.
They got to create some order. Yes, okay. These are the helicopter kids. Okay. So I'm going to tell you who these town council kids are. A 12-year-old spelling bee champ named Anjay.
Okay.
A boy, an 11-year-old boy scout named Mike, a 10-year-old beauty pageant queen named Taylor,
God,
from Georgia.
Everything's wrong about that.
And
sentence.
A 12-year-old theater kid named Laurel.
Is Laurel a girl or a boy?
A girl.
They all sound just
it's two
awful.
Boys, two girls.
Okay.
So
I'm being a little hard on the kids. I know, but those kids sound like nightmares. But
yes. Go. Well, and we know how, you know, reality shows seem to cast by types. So they want do. A villain, and they want the girl next door, and they want the,
who's
you know,
the villain?
Well,
Anjay? The spelling bee champ? I can't imagine.
No.
He sounds like the most normal one there.
Those are the leaders. Okay. Well, Taylor kind of is a little
Taylor
villain-y.
Is a toddler and tiara veteran. She's
a 10-year-old little girl. Yeah. Well, 15-year-old Greg.
Who's he?
He's what he kind of becomes the villain. Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's the oldest.
15, he's like beating up 8 and 10-year-old kids. Yeah, you're a tough guy, Greg.
He's clearly bigger than everybody else. And in this very first town council meeting, he really gets into it with Mike, the Boy Scout on the council.
He's much younger than he is, though. And at a time when that kind of different age is humongous.
Huge. And ends up shoving him.
Oh, my God.
Which is really not nice. So, 14-year-old hero, that's my word, Michael, steps up and he gives a speech, a real rousing speech to the kids that they need to listen to their leaders. And yeah, sure, they've made mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And and he said, we got to really work together so that we got to show the world that kids can do this. You
Michael took a shiv to the kidney that very night while he was sleeping. He was
and
shanked.
Kids, you know, that they could get organized and cooperate to get stuff done. So the kids all applaud and start chanting, Michael, Michael.
Oh my God. Michael, power went to Michael's head and he was soon a fascist dictator of Bonanza.
No, he sounds like a really nice guy. And he doesn't know why. He didn't put himself out there for this show. Neither did his parents.
How'd he get on it?
He's from Seattle and he goes to a music camp in Seattle that they kind of pair young musicians with local Seattle area musicians.
Okay.
And so he thinks that camp, that music camp, gave the producers his name.
Okay.
And they contacted him and said, would you like to audition for this thing?
And they said, a music camp kid? You know what?
Uh-huh.
Actually, yeah.
So he did, and he said there was one producer that kept trying to get him to play his guitar on camera, and he really didn't want to. And
really?
The producer got real mad at him.
Well, that's just like a music camp kid to me. You play, come on, man. Dude, Michael, get it out there. Get an audition tape. Be on YouTube. Justin Bieber this shit.
Greg, the 15-year-old villain, was from rural Nevada. Like I said, he was physically bigger. And I guess he would yell and scream and cuss at the other kids. And adults did nothing to intervene.
That's pretty.
And Olivia...
Was there altercations? Physical altercations? Mm-hmm. He beat up kids?
Well, I don't...
He did shove. Who did he shove? He shoved Mike. The Weeblo.
And yeah, we'll talk about another incident.
I can't believe Mike didn't take his Cub Scout knife and just go at it.
Well, I'm sure that's one of the things they were searching for in their bags, any weapons. But so Olivia, who was 13, had her 8-year-old sister. She said at one point, Greg was yelling and screaming and cussing at other kids, and her little sister was so scared that she hid all the way under her covers, and she said she was hiding because she was scared of Greg, but also she was hiding from the camera crews and the producers because if you were upset or crying or whatever, they would follow you and try to get your scared, horrified, traumatized reactions too.
The reality show mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The rawer, the better. And the more private, the less private they make it.
So Mallory, the 8-year-old, was super lucky that she had her older sister there. I think they were the only...
I was going to say, were there much siblings?
No. I think just them.
I'm honestly surprised because you would think they'd want that so the kids feel more isolated and they do get more of those reactions and fear and things like that.
Yeah. Well, their parents said there's no way they would have let the 8-year-old go on her
own.
They were
a combo.
She wanted to go. She was really into it, and Olivia was not as much. Mm-hmm. And, they basically said...
Was this for Olivia Rodrigo? Was this why she wrote driver's license?
No, it's not Olivia Rodrigo. So at one point, the kids find, in air quotes, this old journal that was supposedly written by the town's original founders and, gave them all sorts of insights and stuff.
Really fake.
Obviously, it was very fake because...
It's laser printed.
This journal...
Comic Sans font.
...tells them that they have to split up into four groups. I think they end up being called district and by color, not skin color. There's
you saw my reaction.
I know. A red group, green, yellow, and blue.
Gotta get blue.
So I'm not really sure how they formed their groups.
I would have wanted to be on the blue team.
To be honest. So, and each town council member was a leader of one of the groups. Mm-hmm. So when you were put into a group, you had to bunk together, work together, and there would be competitions. Mm. So once the kids were divided into groups, things became very quickly very competitive, which kind of makes sense.
Melees?
Yeah.
Like gang fights, like rumbles?
No. So Anjay, the spelling bee champ.
Totally qualifies to be a town council leader.
He was the leader of the blue. He was actually very smart. He was the leader of the blue team. And Greg was on the blue team, and Greg's new best friend, Blaine, was also on the blue team.
Oh, Greg and Blaine sound awful.
They were awful. They were troublemakers. So Anjay decided he was in charge, so he thought they needed to be split up. So he decided to trade Blaine.
Oh, they can do trades?
Yeah.
Can they do draft choices? Can
to trade Blaine to another team. And Greg got real mad at him pushed him through a window.
Oh, my God. We put one of those fake Western windows made out of, I don't know, candy.
I'm assuming maybe no
sugar candy.
Maybe no glass or paint at all. Okay. Anjay was fine, but still.
The entire crew just, all right. Did you get that? Get that shot?
Taylor, the 10-year-old beauty pageant contestant from
Georgia.
Beauty
pageant also. Totally well qualified to be a leader.
Yes.
Beauty pageant.
And she really lived up to the stereotype that we all might think a little 10-year-old beauty pageant queen would,
she would behave. At all times, she just the wave, follow the wave, please.
Well, she immediately refused to do dishes.
Oh, my God.
And she was constantly saying, deal with it.
Oh, my God.
Kids got real sick of hearing Taylor say, deal with it. At one point.
Did they like a montage where they have Taylor saying 40 times, saying, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it, deal
probably.
With it.
Probably. At one point, the kids decided they wanted some protein. They were tired of eating whatever they were just eating.
The mushy pasta.
There were chickens.
Oh, no. They're going to kill chickens and eat them.
So
that's harder than it sounds.
Greg said he had apprenticed or whatever at a butcher. So he's butchered everything. He's helped butcher everything.
Because it's 1850. Apprenticed at a butcher.
Well, he's rural Nevada.
Still.
So he knew how to butcher chickens.
Okay.
So he and some helpers would, you know, get the chickens and put them on a
block. Do they have axes here? That's not a good call.
They must, because
hatchets.
Yeah, there was some way for Greg to chop off the heads.
Please chop off his thumb. Please chop off his
thumb. There were some future PETA members in the group too. Mm. So there was these other little kids who penned themselves into the little chicken coop using chicken wire with the chickens to try to save them.
Oh my God. Okay.
And one little girl said, are they going to hang him like they did Saddam Hussein?
First of all, she's viewing Saddam Hussein's hanging. Her parents need to explain some things.
Yeah.
Second of all, they don't hang chickens.
No.
I think they hang. Yeah. All that chicken you eat, or maybe you don't eat. I don't know.
Maybe she's a little vegetarian. Maybe she
is, but no, they don't hang them. They chop their heads off, Cindy.
The carnivores beat out the PETA kids. Easily. And they ate the chickens.
Mm. So they did. So did they show it? Did they show them cutting chicken's head off, plucking it?
Yes, they did.
Eviscerating
it. And they had to put a warning.
Oh, really? Like, this is gross.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm. If you like chickens, don't watch this
thing. Warning for viewers, not a warning for the kids that had to live through it. Mm-mm. But so another thing that
Trauma? How much? I mean.
Yeah. Another thing that Taylor said, I'm assuming around, it must have been in this episode, ugly chickens don't deserve to live.
Taylor said that?
Yeah.
The beauty queen.
The beauty queen. Although.
I guarantee you she's a grown up bitch right now. And she is.
One kid said that they think that a producer fed her that line.
Probably.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if producers fed a lot of these lines.
But there were other things.
Say deal with it.
That
again.
She said that I read. Like one thing like you can put on makeup or something, but you can't. But that doesn't fix fat or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's just all around a good person.
But she's 10. And you know, these are things she's heard by her mother and by other people in the beauty pageant world. Mm. So you can't blame. You can't blame her.
I can co-blame her.
You can't blame her.
If she's reformed and if she feels badly about it, yes.
So there's a producer who said that, you know, they knew about the whole reality casting for archetypes and, you know, to create drama and all that kind of stuff. But she said while they had that in the back of their minds, they weren't trying to create it. They were going to let it happen organically.
I doubt it. They never let anything happen organically.
They didn't create storylines that didn't already exist.
That 100% line.
They let things happen and shined a light on it.
For sure line. No reality show doesn't create those storylines and guide them, if not outright. Like you said, they outright. We've heard this from a number of people who have written for reality shows as well. They write a lot of those lines.
Yes.
It's not even just like they put them in the situation artificially. They write the lines.
The kids.
There's no such thing as a reality show.
The kids that I've seen and heard interviews with about this, not like official ones sanctioned by CBS, which they had to initially be, but ones now as adults and stuff, they said, yeah, there were producers telling them, like, say that again, we didn't get it, but like the one kid said they thought that line had been fed to them by producers. But we'll talk about it in a little bit, but
the problem with
they
that,
were manipulated.
For sure, but the problem with that
situations were manipulated.
That is that the kids, I'm sure they're not feeding lines to every kid, but the kids who are being fed lines are the ones who aren't going to talk about it to this day. So,
well, so the competition that they have, they're called showdowns, and they have them every few days, and they're competitions between the groups, the districts or whatever, for some kind of a reward. So like the first one was they had these really large bottles that they had to fill with the colored liquid of their district that they had to pump from these real large rigs that were real big and heavy. And it was real difficult for the kids to do. And it was really cold out when they were doing this. One little girl had to be put in a warm shower and then she had to receive medical treatment because she was so cold. Like her extremities were turning blue.
Oh my God. How? You're not going to tell me until the end. Did they kill a kid?
And she had to be seen by the psychologist that day.
They're all going to have to be seen
trauma
by
counseling.
The
at the end, we'll talk about
okay.
the
if anybody got
the mayhem. Okay. So the winning team of this very first showdown would get to choose something that they had a choice between two rewards, one thing that could benefit the entire town, or they could choose something that would be just for fun. So for the first episode, or for the first showdown, they could choose between seven additional outhouses
and firecrackers
or a TV.
A TV?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So what do you
Are they living in separate quarters now? Four different, like four bunkhouses? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the TV theoretically would just go to that.
No, it would.
Is there a common room or something?
There must have been, okay. Yeah.
I think they chose the TV.
Nope, they chose the outhouses.
Wow. Oh, wait a second. Yes, outhouses. Absolutely. Yeah. That's
they all knew that they needed outhouses.
Was there at least a kerfuffle about that? Somebody, no, man, I really miss my TV.
And I don't know what team won, so I don't know who got to choose. But so here are some of the other choices. A collection of holy books or a nine-hole miniature golf course?
Can I say neither?
They chose the books.
Oh, my God. You're just stupid.
A barbecue or toothbrushes?
Oh, that's a tough one.
They weren't allowed to bring a toothbrush.
No toothbrushes, huh? But a barbecue.
One girl said she left with six cavities.
What? She's a liar. There's no way. Imagine. She's not getting six cavities. And how long is this filming?
Was 40 this days.
Okay. Really? Six cavities in 40 days. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. It's very plausible. Mm. They were given like powder to put on their fingers and, you know, swab their teeth with. Okay. No, they chose the toothbrushes.
Okay.
So those are the ones that I know the choices of. Okay. And now I just have a list of what they actually chose. Mm. Cocoa in a microwave.
Cocoa in a microwave?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good choice.
Yeah.
Fresh produce.
Very good choice.
Really good choice. New clothes and free laundry.
Oh, interesting.
We'll talk about how they had to pay for things.
Oh.
Letters from home.
Eh.
I'm sure the kids really wanted the letters from home. An arcade.
An arcade?
Yeah, with like video games and stuff.
Damn.
And a hot air balloon ride.
Doesn't seem very Lord of the Flies-y when you give them arcades and microwaves.
Yes. I think that was towards the very end. That must have been the second to the last one. And then the last one was the hot air balloon ride.
In Mexico is the hot air balloon capital.
Yeah. And a couple of times they didn't win anything because they failed the challenge. Oh. Nobody won.
Oh.
So for this first showdown, the winners and losers got sorted into social classes.
That sounds awful.
So the first one, so the winners of that bottle competition where they got to choose the outhouses, they were designated the upper class.
Ew.
They didn't have to do anything, work all day long, and they would be paid $1 a day just to hang out, and they were paid in Buffalo nickels. The second place district became the merchants. They got to run the candy shop and the dry goods store, and they earned 50 cents a day. The third place were the cooks. They had to prepare all the meals and do all the dishes, and they got 25 cents a day. And the last place were the laborers. They had to do all the manual labor, like hauling the water. They had to go out to like a remote section of the town, pump water, and then haul it back in buckets. And they also had to clean the outhouses.
This is pretty evil. I mean, it's teaching them about capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
The proportions are all off, though. And, they'd be one, you know, to 40 or to 39 and, you know, being able to get paid for doing nothing.
Yeah. They got 10 cents a day. And like I said, they were paid in Buffalo nickels. There's a little girl, Sophia, I think she was 12. She was part of the initial laborer class. She describes herself as a big nerd. And she said the next day after they were put into these groups, she tried to stage a coup.
I like her. She's my favorite so far.
She was going around telling all the other kids in the laborer class with her that they didn't have to put up with it.
No.
And, you know, revolt.
Mm. She now lives in Seattle.
No, a producer took her aside and said, you can't do that. So yes, much for letting the kids do their own society, right?
So,
they made them divide into groups. Yeah. They named the town council. They put up this social class system.
And I'm sure they marketed it as just anarchy and watch what happens when kids, you know, are able to live on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Sophia, I'm probably not real happy with the fact that she couldn't stage a coup. She was earning very little money because she was getting 10 cents a day. She saw a bike in the store that she really wanted, but it cost $3. And she knew it would take way too long at 10 cents a day.
She steal a bike?
To she would never be able to buy it with her wages. So she got a bucket, put it in the middle of the town square, and started dancing for the other kids.
That's much worse. She should steal the bucket.
Uh-huh. Some kids would put money in her bucket because they liked her dancing, and okay. some kids put money in her bucket because they thought it would make her stop dancing. They wanted her to stop dancing. But she made the $3 wow. and she got her bike. And she said she was really surprised at how generous some of the kids were. Even Greg gave her a bunch of money. I'm assuming Greg was in the
elite.
Yeah, what were they called?
I forget too.
Upper class.
Sponges, the leeches.
Yeah. So, but in hindsight, and when it was aired, this scene of her dancing in the square for money made a lot of people kind of uncomfortable.
How old is she again?
I think she was 12.
Okay, a 12-year-old should not dance for money. At least, not in that kind of a thing.
Yeah. She said that...
Unless you're Shirley Temple, and then you're... Actually, that was pretty terrible, too.
Yeah. After everything was over, Kid Nation sent her her bike.
Oh.
So she could have it. She did buy it.
Yeah, they kind of should.
So they had a showdown every few days. So in the next showdown, you could change your... The social classes would change because, you know, the winners and you know, that would happen every few days.
God, if only that happened in real life.
Yeah. So obviously, like we said, this clearly isn't the kids building their own society. They gave the kids the structure that they had to work in. And if they wanted to change it like Sophia did, they were told they can't. So then at the end of each meeting, like a town council meeting, which I guess also happened after every showdown, and the kids were called pioneers. One pioneer was awarded a gold star. And it just looked, it looks like a big 3D star paperweight kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so in the first showdown episode, they were told this gold star is worth $20,000. And the winner also got to make a phone call to their parents to tell them they won the gold star. But they weren't told, none of the kids weren't told this. Even the town council who would decide who would get the gold star that episode, they weren't told until after the first gold star was awarded. It went to Sophia because the first night she kind of took charge of helping making food for everybody.
Okay.
So she was
the mushy pasta. So she wins $20,000 for mushy pasta. Putting overfilling an
No, she took charge after other kids were messing it up.
Okay.
So And I think they were told, like, people who are being the most helpful or, you know, being the nicest, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So this $20,000 gold star thing really changed the dynamic, especially with Greg, who was being mean to everybody. He started being nice and helpful when he realized, hey, I could earn a $20,000 gold star.
He's got a price, I see.
And so the second gold star, he really thought he deserved it because he was being nice and helpful to everybody.
Because he's being fake nice after being an asshole for the entire
time. Yeah, okay. It went to Michael instead of him, as we know.
His archenemy.
Michael. Yeah. No, his archenemy was Mike. Mike is the one he shoved.
Okay. He probably didn't like Michael really either because didn't Michael kind of, if you're the bully and you're being an asshole and then some kid comes and says, oh, let's just get along, and they all start chanting that kid's name, you probably don't like that kid either because you're a dick.
Probably. But so when Michael got the second gold star, Greg kind of reverted back to being the way he normally was. There was a girl named Divad. She decided to set up her own snack bar. I don't know what social class she was in. Yeah. But she really campaigned to get a gold star. I don't know if she actually ever got one.
For sure not vote for her.
Laurel was one of the original town council kids. Mm-hmm. She said that they really did take into account what kids' home lives were like. Because, you know, they were talking to each other. And you could kind of tell this is the rich kid. This is the poor kid. This kid has a single mom. This, you know, this kid says his family is struggling kind of thing. So
wait, is $20,000 town dollars? It's not.
No, $20,000 real dollars.
Oh.
Yes. So she said they knew, you know, this could really change some kids' lives if they got this, and there weren't going to be 40. So Greg finally did win a gold star in the fifth episode. And when he got it, he was very appreciative and thankful. And it was a very touching moment because he told them that meant he could go to college.
Still don't like him. Hope he failed.
So there is an episode where the kids talk about politics.
Oh.
And this is 2007. So George W. Bush,
yeah.
Iraq War.
Yeah.
And the kids were talking about it. And really? They had differing opinions because different kids' parents or did different things. One, I don't remember which kid it was, but her dad worked for Homeland Security and he was conflicted. You know, he didn't love the war in Iraq, but here he worked for Homeland Security. So, you know, I'm sure they talked. So she said there was a lot of talk about the Iraq War in her family. And she said they were talking about politics, which makes me think that the producers were kind of egging, because the kids knew when they were getting encouragement for behavior and stuff, situations. And
they typically cooperated? Yes. Typically, they want us to talk politics. Let's talk politics.
Sure. Kids live to please the adults in their lives.
Okay.
Whether it's explicit, you know, whether they're being told, yeah, keep doing that. Or
up to a certain age.
Or,
and then it's the opposite.
Yes. So she said that there was a lot of disagreement, but she said they were doing it respectfully. They were having very calm and mature discussions about these things.
They need to spice it up, CBS.
And they remained friends afterwards if, you know, somebody they were friends with disagreed with them. And I'm sure, I don't know if kids recognize this,
but doesn't sound very American.
Whatever their stance is on an issue, they get it from their parents.
Yeah.
But so of course that mature political discussion did not make it on episode.
Are you serious?
But the part where they get the kids to talk about religion, that did make it onto the show.
Did that get tense?
Because apparently the founder's journal gives them instructions that they need to hold a joint religious service.
No, so they don't.
The kids immediately get angry. There's lots of different religions represented. Anjay is a Hindu. There are Jewish kids. And I don't know if there's Muslim kids. Probably a lot of Christian kids. So there was like a lot of yelling and they couldn't agree. You know, it was like, how do we hold one big religious service for all of these different religions?
It could be Festivus.
Well, so I think
what
they ended up doing was one girl decides, I'm going to make like a bonfire. And if the kids, because the religious service was supposed to be in the chapel or whatever. And so she said, I'm just going to make a bonfire and whoever wants to come and talk about, you know, how they observe their religion, that would be great from a standpoint of learning about each other. So they did that.
My religion throws people and sacrifices into the bonfire. I don't know about you, but come over here and let's just chat about
it. And I don't know really how it worked out, but people got real angry and yelling at the initial part of how are we going to do this kind of thing. Anjay, he was a Hindu. He had immigrant parents. They lived in Texas. So I'm sure it was, you know,
easily accepted, and he had a very comfortable life.
They also have brown skin. So his parents had probably been telling him his whole life, don't rock the boat. You know, when you live in Texas, if people start praying around you, just
fold
your hands in your lap and don't say anything.
And they sometimes pray with their guns. It's weird.
Yeah. So the town council decided they're going to hold their big joint religious service anyway, and almost nobody showed up. So,
really?
Yeah. So anyhow, in the fifth episode, the kids are told we're going to have elections for a new town council.
Ooh.
Or elections for town council. If you want, you know, so challengers, I guess, put your hat in the ring kind of thing. So they campaigned. The kids who wanted to run decided to run. They would campaign and give speeches. Laurel, the theater kid.
Yeah. Of course. I can tap dance.
She was in the Green District. She ran unopposed.
Really?
So she was reelected.
Was everybody voting or was it just your... No, everybody would have to vote for him,
everybody
right?
votes, okay. But each district votes for their own town council leader. Yeah.
Okay. So so there's 10 people per district.
Uh-huh.
So you need five votes.
Oh, did I not say Jimmy left?
Jimmy left? No, you didn't say about Jimmy left. I knew Jimmy was going to bitch out, but you didn't tell me about
Jimmy left after at the first town council meeting.
What happened to Jimmy?
He was homesick.
The first town? How far did he get? Was that
like
three days? 3 days.
Yeah.
And Jimmy says, how old is Jimmy? Eight?
Eight.
He's kind of a bitch for an 8.
And the camera crew was like following him around when he was crying and stuff.
Are you crying? Christ, they're throwing rocks at him.
So they found him hiding like behind one of the buildings crying. And it was because he was hiding from the camera crew. Mm. And they made it look like he was hiding, you know, the show, I think, made it look like he was hiding from the kids or whatever. No, he was hiding from the camera crew.
Because they kept tripping him as he walked away. So.
Yeah. Damn. So no, he left.
Okay. So there's 39.
So he didn't get his $5,000.
Oh, poor Jimmy. And he certainly ate no $20,000 gold star.
Yeah. So Taylor gets replaced by a 10-year-old named Zach.
Good. Taylor, you know what? You know what she's going to have to do? Deal with it. Okay? Okay, Taylor. Zach just kicked your ass.
And Mike was replaced by an 11-year-old named Guylin.
Wow. What happened to Mike?
I don't know.
He's a Weebolo. He's a Boy Scout.
Yep. So the big drama.
Backwards somersault. Yeah.
Was the election for the blue district.
Is it Anjay?
That was Anjay's district. And Olivia, the 13-year-old big sister to Mallory.
Yeah. Olivia versus Anjay? I thought they're both pretty good.
Yeah. I think they were trying to make her a little villainy.
Mm.
But Anjay ended up keeping his town council seat. Mm. Olivia, at the time, believed that it was because that was the week he gave the gold star to Greg. And so she thinks that, you know, he was basically buying Greg and his pals.
Possibly.
Loyalty. So who knows?
Very possible.
So now.
Like I said, you need 5 votes. I mean.
Yeah. So in the last episode, a producer wakes up Mike in the middle of the night and tells him, go outside. Something's happening. And he goes outside and the big wooden job board is on fire. And
why are they making Mike for that?
So then Mike has to wake up other kids like to come help me put out this fire. Uh-huh. So they're like getting buckets of water and stuff to put out the fire. And the host, there is an adult host of this show. Somebody Karsh, Jonathan Karsh or something like that.
I've heard of Jonathan Karsh.
He'll do
Is he in it throughout or is he just kind of
he's in every episode, but like just like to announce the showdowns or,
is he on site with the kids in Bonanza?
But I don't think he's there all the time, you know? So he
drops in, his little announcement and goes back to the hotel in Santa Fe.
Extreme Home Edition of Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Yeah. And
he did go on. He went on to do more production.
And
stuff,
after this, he does, the show Catfish.
Oh, so he's horrible.
Well,
Catfish?
Yeah.
It's a show about being catfishing, isn't it? What is it about?
About people on the internet pretending to be somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. You it's wholesome TV for you? You don't
think
that's
but I mean, I don't know. Protect the people who pretend to be somebody else on the internet?
Well, what did it do? What did Catfish do? I thought was Catfish a show where they show people catfishing people, right?
And they catch them. Catch somebody catfishing.
Oh, it's like To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
I thought they were doing catfishing. And showing. Watch how easy this is. Here's some techniques to pick up.
No.
Okay.
So
I apologize, Jonathan.
Yeah. So the host shows up and tells the kids, hey, that fire was not an accident.
It's arson.
And then he tells them they can also burn that journal.
What?
Which I guess it had been like a running joke with the kids to burn the journal or get rid of the journal.
Was it because of the Comic Sans Bond?
I don't know.
Okay.
But so what does this mean? No more class structure.
Mm.
No more rules, essentially. We don't have to abide by anything.
And that's the last episode?
These fake people wrote in this
journal.
How many
journal.
Episodes? 13.
13, okay.
So basically, they set this up for the kids to just go wild. Hmm. Go do what you want. So they go to the candy store and they just start taking whatever they want.
It's a riot.
They're looting.
Oh my God.
That's very much how it's shown.
The
kids said they were told by the producers, since the show is ending, if you want a souvenir, go get it. If you want something, go get it. We're done. You know, basically we're done.
And Fox News shows only the non-white kids taking stuff out of the stores. Fact.
Yeah, so very much like how we talked about.
Yeah, that's so fake.
Yes,
that's
very, sleazy. Very much manipulated.
You're portraying these kids as thieves when you tell them to go take shit out of there.
And on camera, like somebody says, hey, I don't know if it was Olivia, but like, hey, Olivia, what's happening? Why is this going on?
It's a free for all.
And she said, on camera, because you guys told us we could go take whatever we wanted.
And they left that in.
No, they didn't leave that in. That's the point. They're saying, hey, what's going on?
Oh,
and you know, they leave out the part where she answers, you told us to do this. Yes.
That's vile. I know a reality show has no rules, but that's very disgusting.
So here's other ways that certain situations were manipulated by the adults in the series. In one episode, the kids had to take care of the, quote, garbage problem. So make it look like you kids don't even know how to clean up after yourselves. You just let trash rot in the streets, and this is gross, and it's, you know, stinky and hazardous. So the kids had to load up all the trash, probably onto carts or whatever, and take it away far enough away and, you know, dig a really big hole and bury it. In reality, the kids had been doing a really good job of taking care of their own trash. So the producers brought in a bunch of stinky trash so that the kids would have to take care of it. And then...
It was, see, and you know, they were thinking of these fake-ass things before. They thought of them throughout. Again, it's essentially they're just like badly scripted shows.
And like the some of the rewards were to set up the kids to... act a certain way, like the arcade. The kids were kind of shown, you know, when the kids were shown in playing in the arcade and stuff, it was kind of depicted like they were getting addicted to gaming and neglecting their duties and, you know, no longer being productive members of this society or whatever.
Okay, says the TV network.
But the kids said,
the irony.
I know, the kids said that they were cooperating and working pretty well together, you know, especially towards the end. And some of the kids, you know, now as adults think, you know, the producers thought this is getting boring.
Yeah.
They would need to try to stir up trouble. And they stirred up trouble between friend groups that was not necessary because they were all getting,
this sounds kind of evil. Remember that episode I think you did on the camp, the psychologist studying the camp, and they did manipulative things like that. That's just...
At one point, this is cringy, and I don't know how, I'm guessing to a certain extent, this was also probably manipulated by the producers, Greg.
Wanted to go listen to Creed. And so that.
Greg and his friends were being accused of being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I forget what the context was. So the boys, I think it's three of them, they decide to each take a chair, and they're going to set it in the middle of the X street, you know, the cross streets. And then when anybody walks by, they're going to compliment them. If we're being disrespectful here, we're going to be nice and we're going to come. So they end up sitting there catcalling all the girls that walk by.
Wow.
And they're saying, you know, they're saying gross stuff and using gross accent.
I don't think they know what compliment means.
Yeah. You're looking good. And basically catcalling the girls.
12-year-old girl. You going to dance for me?
And so the camera people are showing the girl walk across the street, creeped out while these boys are catcalling them. And they end up really getting called out about it. It was, you know, bad.
Getting called out by the other
kids. Yes, by the other kids, yeah. So in the final showdown, they have the regular gold star to award, the $20,000 gold star. But they have an additional three mega gold stars worth $50,000 each. And they don't know this until they get to the end. So... the town council gets to decide this. That's huge. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to decide that if I were on the town council.
Presumably, the town council cannot vote for itself, right?
They don't because they think that's not fair.
It's not fair, obviously.
No.
We each get
I
one.
Know.
Let's draw straws. Who doesn't get one? The three of us do.
I know. So, Sophia. Who already got a $20,000 one. She got the first one.
I would
one.
For sure not give anyone who's got one.
She gets a $50,000 one.
No, that's not cool.
Morgan, who is a little girl who helped organize the religious service thing.
Okay.
She might be the one who did the nice religious service thing, I think.
The bonfire, where she tried to sacrifice a child.
And then,
I don't know how nice that is, but...
Another girl named Migle or Meagle, something like that.
I like me. I choose to pronounce it Meagle.
This is how she's described as a model... who had a model personality.
I don't know what that means.
Well, she acted like a model.
Okay. So she just did the hand wave as well.
I don't know. So the kids who I've she's seen strutting interviews on a catwalk with, they don't really know why she was given a gold star. And I think Laurel has given interviews and stuff. And I think it was her that said they were given parameters and they weren't allowed to give that last star to the kid they really wanted to.
That's so, not right.
I don't know
really
if they made give it to Miggle or Miggle, or whatever Miggle. Her name was.
We've established that as Miggle.
But there was a kid named Pharaoh.
Pharaoh.
Who they wanted to give it to him. And I think they had wanted to give him a $20,000 gold star earlier.
Instead, Fox News showed him stealing a TV.
And he wasn't allowed to. And I don't know where she got the idea because the producers disputed this. But it was like he hadn't been given enough screen time. So they wouldn't have enough to put together around him getting the gold star.
Manufacture a backstory or something like that?
And so along with the gold star, that's you got sleazy. To call your parents. So they would fly a film crew to wherever your parents were. So they would have one film crew filming the parent and the other filming the kid. So maybe it had something to do with that.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know where Pharaoh was from.
Film crew near him or something?
Yeah. I don't know. So then at the very end, all the parents come running into the town to pick up their kids, I guess. And the kids didn't know that their parents were going to come to get them.
So they flew them all back to New Mexico.
Yes. Okay. A lot of the kids were genuinely sad. Some of the kids were thrilled and just go running to their parents. Other kids are like sad because, oh no, this means I have to leave all my new friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the final showdown that they had, I don't know what the competition was, but the choice was either a hot air balloon ride or they would leave this huge monument to Kid Nation at Bonanza Creek, what city or whatever.
Hot air balloon.
They didn't give a crap about the
for
monument.
Sure, hot air balloon.
So they chose the hot air balloon
ride.
That's
the easiest one so far.
And they said it was super fun and wonderful. The kids were sent home, no follow-up, no resources, no counseling, no anything.
Hi, here's your scarred for life child. Enjoy.
Before the show
tune in this fall.
Before the show even aired, there were articles. I read two New York Times articles talking about the controversies in the show.
So stuff was leaking out, probably crew, I imagine, or maybe even, you know, they have those things, but how can you prove which of the 40 kids said something if the whoever they say it to is going to keep their secret?
Well, what happened was there were some complaints made to the state of New Mexico about some things that had happened.
By who?
By parents.
Oh, Jimmy's parents for sure.
So, although... not Jimmy's parents.
Really? That's surprising.
He got to go home after 3 days.
I know, they made him cry a lot and then threw rocks at him and tripped him.
You made up some of that. So.
I don't think I made up anything.
So there were some health issues that were raised. And some of this was in the complaint to the state of New Mexico.
Jimmy had a lot of scrapes and bruises from the rocks.
11-year-old Devad. She was the one who made her own snack bar or whatever.
Oh, yeah. She had food poisoning.
No, her face got burned by hot grease that splattered on her while she was cooking. So her
sounds
mom,
like that's on her.
Her mom filed a complaint in June. So after the filming, but before it aired.
She came home. Her face is horrifically scarred.
And she called for an investigation into abusive acts to minors and possible violations of child labor laws.
There was 100 a day.
The claim was investigated by the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office, which found no criminal wrongdoing on the part of the production company.
Because they want more productions there.
And at some point, some investigatory body, I don't know what agency, went to the site. And they were denied access, so they just left.
Oh, my God.
And did no investigation. So it sounds like New Mexico is not on the ball.
New Mexico wants movies filmed there. It's a big part of their economy. And we tried.
I know.
The best we could.
My assumption would be they were paid off. Somebody was paid off.
Or, like I said, they just know on what their... And movie and TV productions are a big part of their economy. So
true.
A show attempt to go out there.
And they probably said, hey, if this is successful, we'll do more.
For sure.
More seasons.
No question. And just, you want to keep the reputation as being super production friendly.
Yeah. Other investigation efforts by the state of New Mexico were later dropped. Another...
Because Kid Nation is still on, right? It's in its 21st season?
Yeah, yeah. Health thing that was highly publicized was a story about a kid drinking bleach.
Ooh, that's not good.
And maybe I heard it was more than one kid.
Oh, were they huffing cinnamon? Were they AirPods? Not.
I've heard different stories.
AirPods.
But one thing said it was in a bottle that was mistaken for a bottle of seltzer water. I heard another story was like the kids were responsible for washing the dishes and they didn't always do a great job because they're flipping kids and like they don't Clorox. Have dishwashers.
It's not a well-known brand of seltzer.
And did they even have hot water? If they were pumping water from a well, what were they using? Even if you have Dawn dish detergent, you're not getting your dishes very clean with cold water.
Drinking Dawn dish detergent?
Well, so one person in an interview said, you know, there would be like a sink full of supposedly washed dishes that didn't look real good. So like production people would pour bleach on them. And then, you know, they should be rinsed and cleaned. But so one cup wasn't rinsed well enough and still had some bleach at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And that the kid was making a soda water thing and poured actual soda water in it and drank it and then at some point started vomiting and stuff.
Yikes.
He was treated and he was fine. But
it's not like you're poo-pooing it.
No, I'm not. But there shouldn't be bleach anywhere.
No.
Where kids could get a hold of it.
Antifreeze actually tastes quite sweet. So they had plenty of that.
So anyway, I'm sure there were other minor things, but it wasn't. Nobody was hurt. No. I mean, nobody was killed.
Someone died.
I know you were waiting for the death.
I kind of was. But a lot of diarrhea, some throwing up, some burns.
Mm-hmm.
Little Jimmy got scrapes and bruises from being thrown rocks and tripped and shoved to the ground.
Well, Ananjay said there were over 200 adults near the set at any time and that he didn't consider the show in any way abusive, and it was definite, but that it was definitely a lot more exploitative than I remember it being back then.
Yeah.
Rewatching it as an adult.
Kids don't know to be exploited.
Yeah, kids.
For the most part.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think the scene with Sophia dancing now, it's like,
I can't,
that would never or should never be allowed to happen now. So, I think you were helping me by looking up ratings.
How do you think this did? Well, great. Well, you probably know. I don't know why I'm asking.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the ratings were. What I saw, it just had like viewership in the millions per episode. I don't know what that means. It was like the first episode was like 9 or 10 million viewers,
yeah,
I think.
And, yeah, it was.
Okay.
The first episode, and by the way, folks, is much harder than it should be to look up old Nielsen ratings.
Yeah.
But the first episode scored 18th place in the week of its first initial episode, uh-huh. September of 2007, the middle of September. It lost out. Number one that week was Sunday Night Football on NBC with 19 million viewers, followed by Survivor China. Never heard of it. 15.4 million viewers, and followed by CSI with 14.1. In 17th was Back to You on Fox, 9.5 million. Never heard of it. Don't know what that is. 18th place, Kids Nation. So its initial episode got 9.4 million views.
Okay.
It placed 18th. I understand, though. Didn't it falter quickly and wasn't it doing poor? I mean, it got canceled. I don't think just for the fact that they should have got sued and were eventually going to kill somebody.
Yeah. The viewership steadily went down.
Yeah.
So the first one was like 9.4. The next one would have been like 9.3.
That's
or
not
9
bad,
point.
Actually.
But it steadily went down. And I think at the end, it ended up like in the sixes or sevens or something like that.
You know what place it was in?
No.
Okay. Because back then, usually, and that was a time already there was a lot of competition. Now, of course, when you're streaming, it's just completely different.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked up the most recent top 10 broadcast shows in their audience, and number one, this is, I think, the middle of April, it's the most recent I can find, was 60 Minutes. I didn't even know that was still on the air, let alone still doing well on a successful show, especially who's watching broadcast TV, 80 and up.
Yeah.
And its audience, though, was 8.6 million, the number one show. So less than half of what in 2007, which is already eroded from the 70s and 80s and into the 90s.
Yeah.
And there's number two, a show called Trekker. I've never heard of it. Tracker. I've never heard of Young Sheldon, some show called FBI.
Heard of Young Sheldon.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it. Show called FBI. I'm sure there's a Ghosts. Isn't that that? Were there...
Oh, I love that show.
Okay. And then.
That's a show that I've watched.
You
know who's in Ghosts?
Who?
Betsy Sodaro.
Oh, really? She sounds delightful and funny. She just has...
You don't like her voice.
Her voice is horrific. It's a horror show.
I love you, Betsy.
And FBI International was 8. Oh, have you heard of these things?
How could the FBI be international?
That doesn't
by
make
definition.
Any sense. Number 9, a show called Fire Country. That's a thing. And number 10 was The Voice. The 10th rated show, The Voice, 5 million views. This is a different world now.
Yeah.
So much competition for that viewership. I don't know. They still make a shit ton of money. So I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
But it was Kid Nation back in 2007 was axed after its first season, wasn't
it? Yeah. And immediately after filming the show, probably between the time, you know, they filmed it and before it actually aired and had controversy and stuff, they were already getting ready to start casting for the second season. Yeah. They thought they had a hit on their hands.
Well, you know, holding on to, it sounds like they held on to something like 80% of the audience.
Yeah.
And that could have been enough to get, if especially when a reality show, because the production is usually fairly cheap, they're usually relatively inexpensive to do, I wouldn't have been surprised. Had there not been the controversy, it's possible that show would have been renewed.
Yeah, maybe. And they could have just decided kids are too, you know, more trouble than they're worth. Or
so are adults.
Yeah.
I mean, all those stupid reality, you know, Survivor and Big Brother, you know. I don't know. Yeah, they could have, I suppose. Yeah,
I don't know.
But it sounds like they very successfully manipulated it in season one, and they could just hone their craft in season two and three. My guess is the thought of having some litigation stop them from having a season two.
Yeah, because...
So, like, eventually some kid's going to get seriously hurt, and we're going to be in trouble.
And it's way worse if it's a small child than if it's an adult, so...
That would be,
you know,
like
adults are responsible for signing themselves up. Kids are not. So
that could have been some kid got seriously hurt. Now it's just not just a lawsuit, but he can't imagine just the PR is not worth it.
Yeah.
So, I honestly, I'm surprised it even got on.
Yeah. My thing is, how boring would subsequent seasons be? I mean, they would, I don't know if they would.
I think that about all reality shows. Survivor's
know,
the same thing.
But if
the
they,
voice and all that stuff, they're just the same dumb shit every year.
We don't feel
year
that
year
way
year.
About the Great British Bake Off.
That's true. This is much better.
It's just
you know
as
why?
Charming every
because
season.
Because I don't know how much, I'm sure they manipulate that too, but there's are genuine real people doing genuine real stuff.
Yeah.
They're not, reality shows like we're describing here are just, like I said, they're badly scripted shows. They're not unscripted shows.
It's not about them interacting with each other. And
they're almost always horrible people
doing
dumb, nonsensical, fake stuff.
Yeah.
That's completely, in my mind, that's completely different.
But
or other reality shows are like, you know, Kardashians be like that. Just awful, you know, objectively awful people doing awful things and getting paid a ton of money for. There's anybody who watches Kardashian, don't stop listening to a show because I hate you. You're evil. It's just so vile. It's so destructive.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about it. I'll get off my soapbox now.
That's okay. I think England had something similar, or Great Britain.
To
I don't know. Where.
Kid Nation? Really?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh.
Aaron was telling me.
Kid Town, Kid Village.
Aaron told me. I don't know if this is the one that was referred to in some article I read or if this was a different show, but they had kids living in a house and they divided them up by girls and boys. And like the boys just, you know, towards the end, they didn't even have any furniture because they just demolished everything. The girls were probably a well-oiled, nicely run household. I don't know.
Probably.
I'm making that up, but I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
well,
so
well, that's
Kid
Nation.
That's Kid Nation.
Gosh. Yeah, that is a little footnote that I never heard of it until very recently. Don't remember it when it was on the air. I didn't watch it broadcast TV by then. It had been years since I watched broadcast TV anyway by 2007. But I don't remember it happening. I must not have paid attention to any of the news stories about the controversies.
No, yeah. We must not have.
No recollection of it. I mean,
yeah. Some scenes look a little familiar to me. Like I must have seen
trailer. It's in the back of your head. It's a quasi memory because you probably ran across a trailer or a commercial at some point. I bet I did too.
But I would have expected if our kids had heard of it, I would have expected them to want to watch it. But they didn't.
They're fairly young still, so I don't know.
But, well, no.
I guess not.
Rachel would have been.
I guess.
I mean, they would have been. Some of our kids would have been in the age range of the kids on the show.
Oh my God. We should absolutely put them on there. Get that gold star, bitch, is what my directions
would have been. Wouldn't even have sent my kids to a 40-day summer camp. So I wouldn't have sent my kids to this.
You probably know that I would have.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have. So.
Oh, well. Okay, well, thank you, Carrie, for that interesting footnote from television history called Kid Nation. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
All right, until next time, folks.
Thanks for listening.